morning, afternoon, and evening. You found The Zing. The Zing is a podcast created by Bobby Hockaday in cahoots with Energy Related Devices and Tucan Carrier Bioenergy. Today, our subject of discussion will be biomass and biofuel with our president of Energy Related Devices and Tucan Carrier Bioenergy, Bob Hockaday. Come, take a listen if you're curious about how we can get cow energy from cows. Thank you.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Hi, Bobby.
Let's see how this works, if it's actually any good. We're pretty new to podcasting, so please bear with us. So today we wanted to talk about biomass and biofuels with Bob Hockaday.
Okay. Do you want me just to go ahead and jump in?
What is your experience with biofuels?
My experience with biofuel, we go back to burning wood, but let's talk about essentially recent history and things that are going on in essentially the biofuel world. And just to give you an idea, well, I mean, biofuel or biomass is pretty ancient history. It goes back to burning wood and burning methane that essentially comes from decaying material. But, I mean, an awful lot of what we do with our fossil fuels, that's all biomass. It's just very old biomass in many cases. So the idea is that if we could transition, I might say we're talking about future energy sources, if we can transition to biomass fuel, essentially capturing energy from trees, grass, algae, things that grow with photosynthesis and makes energy, can you use that to essentially make a storable energy source, like a fuel that you can store and use when you need it? The reason this is important today is that if you can capture the energy from plants that have been producing the energy right now, particularly just waste material from plants, then you can now essentially have a carbon neutral source, as they like to say. It doesn't impact the atmospheric supply of greenhouse gases. The idea is if you capture it, use it, and return it right back to the atmosphere, it's a closed loop. You're simply not changing the amount of gas in the atmosphere. We have an unusual thing coming up, and that is that if you could capture biomass gas, or essentially energy from biomass, you can also capture carbon dioxide in the process and put that back into the ground. So the possibility is we would actually be a negative carbon energy source. We could be a biomass source that could capture energy, use the energy, and at the same time, removing greenhouse gases from the atmosphere.
We'll be back right after this. Okay, so we were talking about biofuel and biomass as kind of a battery, almost like a bio-battery.
Right. It's an ancient way to store energy, you might say, that's already been around for at least a billion years, that plants can actually convert sunlight to energy, storing it in the form of sugars, starches. They can then produce things like cellulose, lignins, all kinds of interesting hydrocarbons. Most of all of these have energy in them. So the idea is that we could, right now we're facing a problem that we're burning too much of what we call the ancient biomass, oil, gas, and coal that come out of the ground. And it's effectively adding more carbon dioxide to the atmosphere by burning or combusting or just utilizing a lot of those ancient stored hydrocarbons. Now, the idea is if you can, when we talk about biomass,
we're usually talking about being able to capture the energy of plants that are essentially have recently grown and produced that energy. So the whole idea is that we have mountains of biomass in the United States and throughout the world. There's lots of this, and it's usually thought of as the material that it's not food, and it's leftovers from agriculture. All this is cattle manure. The leftovers on a field, let's say,
like the corn husks. And
yeah, the corn husks, the corn stalk, the cellulosic part of the plant, trees, grass. You can think of algae grows, and it creates sugars, fats, and things like that. And the whole idea is that this is available. It's there's numbers like we could provide half of the essentially fueled energy of the United States if we actually the natural gas of the United States. We are producing large amounts of natural gas from the ground, effectively pulling up fossil methane, but you could effectively supply half of that just by anaerobically digesting all the manure and leftover material from agriculture, and essentially harvesting trees that need to be thinned out. So it's there. And the next detail is how do you get to it, and how do you get that material efficiently converted?
And how would you get it converted?
So, the ancient way to do this is simply burn it. You say, burning all this biomass, you essentially run an engine, or you put logs in a fireplace and you burn it. And throughout the world, many people cook with wood stoves. And the problems are that when you just do straight combustion of trees, bushes, grass, even we call cow chips, it doesn't result in a 100% clean combustion. It's pretty dirty. You end up with a whole variety of hydrocarbons. Most of those are very carcinogenic. You end up with making smoke.
And like the famous examples of that would be like the London in the 1800s or so?
Yes. The black, I was trying to remember what it was called, but when they had a major temperature inversion, the smoke from the coal fired, coal burning essentially was killing people in London. Now, in the world right now, more than 1 million people in just China every year die from combustion pollution. It's actually a complicated detail. It may also be related to the amount of ammonia vented from agricultural fertilizer interacting with soot in the air. But they have deadly air pollution, and many of the major cities in India are suffering from extreme amounts of air pollution. Most of it's all related to combustion the dirtiness of combustion of all the interesting hydrocarbons.
So how are we going to get to it?
Okay, now we're going to get to the meat of things. The new and exciting things are that you can process biomass. And let's start with, you might say, the dirtiest biomass. That is cattle manure, and we've got a lot of it. The world has a lot of it. We've got about 1.4 billion cows in the world, and they are producing mountains of cattle manure. And what you can do is anaerobically digest that manure. Now, here in Tubumcari, what we're going to do is increase the temperature and speed the process up, and then make pure methane and carbon dioxide. We can take that carbon dioxide and put it in the ground somewhere. We've actually got many wells and pipelines in this area, one of the few places in the world where we can store it underground for millennia.
Now, where are we?
We are actually in Tubancurry, New Mexico, and just north of us, we have a natural carbon dioxide deposit called the Bravo Dome. It has been tapped for many years to extract the carbon dioxide and put it into the Permian Basin, which is south of us, which is eastern New Mexico and west Texas. But the idea is that we've got lots of holes in the ground, and you can put carbon dioxide back in those holes. Big geologic formations that can absorb a huge amount of carbon dioxide. We've been releasing it. Now we can reverse the game and run it back into the ground. So interesting potential coming up. This methane that you can convert from biomass, it's actually, we're intercepting it, which oftentimes cattle manure, if left on its own devices, particularly if you leave it in a pond, a digesting pond, which is oftentimes used by feedlots to just reduce the material so it can go through the irrigation systems, emits methane and is a very potent greenhouse gas. So if we can catch that biomass before it has a chance to decompose naturally, we will be doing the earth a favor. We will be capturing it, utilizing it, getting into carbon dioxide, which has about 1/25 the impact. So the idea is quickly gather up all this biomass, convert it to fuel, use it, and you're reducing greenhouse gases. So the nice feature is we will be able to produce, on paper, we can actually produce enough biomass energy to support the electrical grid when the sun isn't shining and the wind's not blowing. So you can use this as your energy storage of the electrical grid. There's lots of talk right now about batteries and how are we going to store all the energy from the electrical grid. Now, electrical chemical storage, there's a lot of options and some we haven't seen, but the obvious one that's sitting there is we can make energy sources of fuels that can be burned and combusted as needed. And engines are relatively inexpensive compared to batteries right now.
So if this technology is so wonderful, why has it not been widely adopted?
I think one of the reasons is it takes time. These are slow processes. Nature, you might say, takes a long time to make eventually a biomass deposit. It takes time. They are diffuse sources of energy. You're talking about gathering up stuff that has what we call the EU factor. I mean, we're talking about the garbage and leftovers from agricultural activity, like scraping a feedlot for its manure. Oddly enough, we have a lot of food waste that effectively is not utilized. And we create these things called landfills, and we stuff all this stuff into the landfill because we don't know how to take care of it, separate it, recycle it, something like that. So it turns out landfills are really producing a large amount of gas, and they represent a major greenhouse gas emitter. So there, the simple thing is cover the top of the landfill and collect the gas and burn the gas and do something useful with it. But a little more effective way to do this is collect it before you even get to the landfill. Mm-hmm. Can you collect it at the source supply? That way you know approximately what's in it. It's a little easier to process. And so we're talking about yard waste, food waste, agricultural leftovers. At least 25% of your landfill material is things like food waste. It decomposes very rapidly and produces a huge amount of gas, methane gas and carbon dioxide. So the whole idea is let's intercept it, let's utilize it, and what we're trying to do is find the most economical way to do that in Tubenkari. And one of the ideas here is to use an old ethanol plant which has the equipment for processing, and use that, do the conversion, and be able to put that gas right in the pipeline. So what we're going to have to do is overwhelm a variety of, you might say, regulatory hurdles that they're not, we've created these hurdles about how to put gas into the pipeline, how to make essentially small sources of supply be able to feed into the big natural gas system that we have. And the whole idea is that we can fuel trucks, vehicles, and things like that with natural gas. We also can do hydrogen fueling. A lot of this just depends on having the infrastructure in place and, you might say, the ways to use this fuel. It's like a chicken and egg syndrome. The original automobile, just the internal combustion engine, they had a choice. They had to figure out, could we run them on ethanol made by farmers, or could we run it on oil? And the auto companies, particularly an oil company, Standard Oil, wanted to push everyone towards fuel that came out of the ground because we had a lot of it, and they could monopolize it versus the farmers. They effectively were distributed. There are many farmers. So this goes back a long time, at least 100 years of choosing our fuel supply. Just so happens at the time we moved towards an oil supply. Convenient, it was there. And now you say, well, we're messing our atmosphere up, and the planet's temperature is changing. We have to switch back to something that will correct the problem. We can now start taking those greenhouse gases out of the atmosphere and not adding any more greenhouse gas. We will push that greenhouse gas emissions down.
And stop the cows from laughing and farting, huh?
Yes.
Now, or burping. Belching.
Yeah. I just let you know, this recent research has shown, in several discoveries, has shown that the cows, essentially, they belch methane. Most of their methane emissions comes by belching, and it's related to the cellulose and lignin, mostly cellulose, that's in the grass that they chew and digest, and they effectively can't get access to a lot of the cellulose, but there are bacteria that can break it down and convert it to methane. So they're sort of in their stomachs making methane, and it's not, I mean, it's a side effect. But it turns out there's I'd say give credit to the Canadians and the Australian researchers found that if they fed their cattle a seaweed, they reduced their methane emissions and made them better milk cows. So it turns out there are additives now that can dramatically reduce methane emissions. And I've heard numbers ranging from 50% to 90% reduction in their methane production from their stomachs. So that's a major source of methane and greenhouse gas that comes from cattle. So someday we may have cattle that don't make so much gas.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed this episode of The Zing. If you have an idea for the next topic we should discuss, drop it in our Facebook comments on either our Energy Related Advices Incorporated Facebook page or the Tubenkari Bioenergy Facebook page. We will be having also dropping a link for if you guys want to leave voice messages to be featured in this next episode. Thank you. Bye.